Welcome to the new season of the Live Your Spa Life show. The Spa and Spa Life stands for Seek Power Always, that divine power within you to do what you're here to do. The theme for this season is Freedom Fighter. Amazing people like you share ways to ensure your freedom physically, financially, spiritually, and in your relationships to create a world-class life. In these times of uncertainty, it's time for you to move past the distractions and start trusting yourself more through your God-given knowingness. No one truly knows better what's best for you than you. In this season, you'll have plenty of examples of people choosing their best life and giving a voice of freedom to those who are also looking to have their best life. Thank you for sharing your precious time with us and being part of the Live Your Spa Life conversation. With us today is Emma Jory. In addition to being an internationally certified Pilates, barre, hatha yoga instructor, Emma Jory is also a certified health coach and online instructor specializing in women's health, specifically pre and postnatal programs. With over 17 years of teaching experience, she is the creator of ePilates Online, an online global fitness business. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because as people are looking to have more freedom in their life, you have a unique perspective of having both a online business as well as a brick and mortar. You've been on both sides of that fence, and I'd love for you to share your journey of when you had your online or how you now have that online studio, but you had the brick and mortar. And now that you've had some time and perspective since you sold that back in 2014, what were some of the insights you saw? What's the differences? You know, do you feel like you have more freedom now? Like, what is that like for you?
Yeah, I have had a really exciting journey. I left corporate to pursue my passion. I did that about 18 years ago when I started teaching Pilates. And it was, a wonderful experience to start helping people with their health and well-being after I sort of went through my own challenges with my health. So I was quite stressed in corporate. I used to love exercise, all different types of exercise, but never really found anything I loved as much as Pilates when I found that. So it gave me, it really changed my life, actually. It was instead of exercising to, you know, stay fit or because I felt I had to stay fit, I actually started to really love it and became, you know, weaved into my lifestyle. So Pilates changed my life, and I wanted to share that with more people and create a space where people come and share my passion and I could create a community. And that's when my brick and mortar studio came alive. And I had that for about 7 years in Australia. And when my partner at the time moved to Malaysia, we did long distance for quite a few years, and I finally decided, okay, it's time to finish that now, move to Malaysia. And we didn't know how long we'd be here. That was one of the reasons why I decided, you know, maybe I should go online. But also because I actually, when I had my brick and mortar studio, I had a couple of breakdowns, actually. I was working too hard, took the workaholic tendencies that I had in corporate to my health and wellness industry. So I think sometimes it follows you until you learn really the behaviors that you need and the habits you need to look after yourself. So for me, I tended to give to a lot of other people, the clients and the staff, before I give to myself. So suffered a couple of, you know, breakdowns, and then realized, you know, if I'm going to go back into teaching again in Malaysia, I need to really be mindful of myself and taking care of myself. So there was a two part sort of decision to go online. One was to help more people, or three parts, and because we didn't know how long we'd be here in Malaysia, but also so that I could actually not turn down clients and to look after my own health, still be able to help, you know, a lot of people and take care of myself as well. So it's interesting, the online space. You know, you asked how the differences. I still have to be mindful that I'm taking care of myself because we can always sometimes get out of balance if we're not mindful of looking after our own self-care. So I'm constantly, you know, trying to keep that really nice full cup so I can give to others, even if it is online. So, yeah, it's interesting to compare the two.
Right. Well, and kudos to you for actually looking at your own health. But I think there's, if people would peek behind the curtain of a lot of health professionals, they are not congruent and they're out of, you know, integrity in not having good health. So I think that it's important to, you know, physician heal thyself and to be able to, you know, whatever it is that you're teaching, that you are actually incorporating that and that you're doing that yourself. So good for you in doing that as well. And, you know, transitioning into the online space. I mean, this is something that you've been very successful in. You have over 40,000 members online offering over 300 classes. Is that something that you've teach all the classes yourself? Do you have a staff of people? How is it different than the classes that you did in person?
Yeah, it's interesting. The online space is, what I do is teach mostly pre-recorded classes. So people can do them anytime, anywhere. And even, I guess I started before COVID. So it wasn't really as big a widely accepted online teaching as it is today. It's quite common now. Most people have a hybrid version in the fitness industry. But back then, some people were even skeptical of teaching online and can it give good results. But actually, I find it's incredible. My members get amazing results. I have a way of teaching that explains the why we're doing something. So I try and break things down so that people understand why they're doing it. And then they'll probably be more likely to continue doing it and then, you know, actually bring it into their own routine themselves rather than just being told to do something. So I find we do get incredible results, and the members are an incredible bunch. My Corfit Club members, that's my membership name, they inspire one another. They're posting all the time in Facebook. They recommend classes to do to one another. So yeah, it's really it's a great space to be in, as long as you know, we can make sure we're not always on the screen time. You know, I believe that we need to have a little break, but I think it's even with exercise, you don't really notice that, you know, you're on the screen. A lot of my clients feel like I'm actually in the room with them, so it's quite personal. It's quite close to the camera angle and things like that. So yeah, it does get good results.
Nice. Well, with all the things happening in the world, there's been, you know, a lot of fear that has popped up, and finding ways to move through fear, to recognize fear. And one of the things that that you shared with me is sometimes fear shows up for you as like distraction or overwhelm. I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, with online, there is a lot of tech. So as you probably know, there are a lot of things that, you know, pop up and are constantly needing attending to. So for me, I have been and still are a recovering perfectionist, if you like. So for me, I try to make sure things are working well for my members. You know, I like to give my best always and make sure everyone's looked after. And so, you know, that can sometimes be a detriment to feeling overwhelmed sometimes when there's a lot to do. I'm always one for innovating. I love to give my clients new and exciting things to do and have the benchmark quite high. So for me, you know, it's always constant, but I love it at the same time. So, you know, juggling that perfectionist nature, but also offering, you know, the best quality is often a juggle. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. You know, I don't always see people put together fear with like procrastination and busyness. And I could see how that could happen, because a lot of times if we're fearful of taking the next step or doing something, you know, distractions or other more important things come up, and there's things that can get in the way that if you don't recognize that as fear, then you can't do something about it or shift or change it. So when you notice yourself, and I'm sure our listeners can relate to this, being busy or distracted or overwhelmed, how quickly does it take for you to recognize that that's fear, and what do you do to move through that?
Yes, it's interesting. Being in the online space, I've had to put myself forward a lot more than what I probably would normally be comfortable doing. It's very different teaching a class of 10 people to, you know, being, on show to the whole world, even though not the whole world isn't actually, you know, seeing us when we're online. We just think, you know, at the beginning that they are. I had to overcome a lot of fear and visibility fear as well. So for me, there's a whole lot of elements that sort of come into play. But I like to always put myself in challenging situations. So I always like to put myself outside of my comfort zone, because I know that usually the fear is often what we need to do more of. Feel the fear and do it anyway. That quote is definitely true, because once we step through that, we always, you know, feel really empowered and happy with ourselves. So I try to always, you know, take those steps to challenge myself regularly. Sometimes procrastination is one of the things as well, where I can, you know, if we're overwhelmed, we can think too much about something. So I'm always aware of that. And my tools are to stay present. So, you know, I teach a lot about breathing, like yourself, Diane. I believe in that. It's a way to just reduce anxiety, to stay calm, because the breath is actually connected to the mind. So, as you know, so once our breath is fast and shallow, then our mind can start to race. So I think recognizing when we're holding our breath is a big one. If we're on the phones, even, you know, any kind of device, our breath usually changes. So recognizing that, we often hold our breath. So a big important thing is to just recognize even holding our breath. So that is a big one too. So I'm usually aware of that. And even passing a big sigh, you know, if we tend to, you know, breathe out a lot, that's usually when we're kind of gasping for air and it's a little too late. So recognizing those kind of signs are super important.
Yeah. You know, it's so great. I'm glad that you brought about breath, because I think sometimes, you know, people hear like, oh, take a deep breath kind of thing, and they think of it as like no big of a deal. However, I mean, there's so many scientific connections with the breath and how it calms the brain down. And if we don't take those deep breaths, we can't get enough oxygen to the brain to actually allow us to think more clearly. And thank God, you know, globally, we're kind of on the other side of the whole masking and things like that. But, you know, people who were wearing them for, you know, ungodly numbers of hours, you know, people are now starting to see the respiratory issues that they were having, the lack of clarity that they were having. And I think if anything, it brought to attention for people the importance of your breath and in your health, right? And how to be able to have that, and just recognizing that we were meant to take deep breaths and to actually be able to utilize the fresh air that we were meant to live. So I think that is such an important thing and a good reminder for our listeners as far as, you know, not to take our breath for granted and to do everything we can for our health in ensuring that we're taking deep breaths and that we're able to be mindful in and around that. And so, you know, there's another aspect you talk about in terms of, you know, there's that elusive balance and having alignment in your life. And you talk about the barometer of well-being. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think you start to learn, you know, when you have had ups and downs in your health and your wellness, you maybe have gone through a breakdown, or, you know, you had challenging times. I think you really start to notice when you do feel good for a long time, that is your, you know, barometer, as you say, and something to measure it by. So we're always going to have ups and downs. We're always going to have challenges. That's life. But coming back to that again, so keeping that as our measurement, if you like, to constantly be tuning into, to come back to. So I think it's important as well to recognize that we do have the ebbs and flows, and it's human. And, you know, you speak about the people in the wellness industry, even we do too. And I think it's a misconception to think that, you know, we have it all, you know, going on all the time. We have to constantly work at it ourselves. So yeah, having that barometer and just knowing that, you know, that's the level you want to come back to. And I guess having that experience of feeling really good on so many levels, when it comes to mindset, when it comes to our exercise, you know, food, all of that, knowing our top level to kind of be working from is wonderful to have felt that. And coming back to it as often as we can is the key.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and you know, a lot of times when people listen to your story and where you're at, and they see all the successes in that, and they don't always see the behind the scenes, some of the challenges and getting there. And you had talked a little bit about your own like health challenges, and particularly when you were younger with the like bulimia, you know, as far as, can you explain like how long you had that, you know, what were some of the things that, cause that can follow people like lifelong. And I find that, you know, when people have challenges that, you know, either inspires them to change in a different way, right? Or they succumb to that in that. So, if you could share a little bit about that journey, because I'm sure there's listeners who've had, you know, different things that come on and they don't necessarily know how to move beyond them.
For sure. The eating disorder, bulimia, that I had started when I was a teenager, and I think it started when I began to notice I had put on a little bit of weight. And I think, you know, going through those teenage years, you are a little bit more susceptible, you know, you're definitely sometimes looking at yourself as you change and questioning things. And depending on our upbringing, obviously, you know, how happy we are within ourselves. I think I was looking to control my environment, which I couldn't. And so I looked at controlling my food. So for me, and you know, looking back now, I see it might have been a punishment of myself. So, not really having enough self-love. And I think so over the years, it actually stuck with me till my early 20s and mid-20s maybe. And I really have been, you call it a seeker, all my life. And I love that when you reference that in your podcast, because I think it's been a journey for me to come into a good place in myself, to really accept myself, to love myself. And I think, you know, we need to add in all sorts of things to get to that point, whether it be counseling, whether it be, you know, exercise, work on mindset, all those sorts of things. So for me, it's been a bit of a journey. And it's interesting now that I'm teaching exercise and health and wellness, because, you know, I have come full circle basically. So I'm also a health coach and give more so mindset tips around, you know, healthy mindset rather than the food, because I think we all know what we should or shouldn't be eating, but to make ourselves a little bit healthier. I think what happens often in life is we forget sometimes about the mindset and how that plays a big effect. For example, if we eat the wrong food, or not the wrong food, I should say, there's no right or wrong necessarily, but if we eat unhealthier food, what we don't want to do is beat ourselves up. We want to allow what we call an 80-20 rule. You know, we still want to allow ourselves to eat those kinds of foods. So for me, I think it's been a journey to get to this point where I'm not depriving myself and I'm not overeating. I'm just, you know, enjoying what I eat and balancing it with exercise, and not exercising for punishment either, but exercising to feel good. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Well, and I think that the more people, you know, really understand like how the body works, right, and what is actually real food and what is energizing us. And, you know, one of the things I've learned is either, you know, the body is amazing and can heal itself in so many different ways. And, you know, usually we get in the way of it, right? We're either, you know, not giving it what it needs, or, you know, we're have something in our environment that's getting in the way of itself. And I think that there's, if anything, over the last couple of years, people are realizing that we've been delegating our health to people that probably just don't know that much about it. And if we really, you know, take that on ourselves to really understand that, it's really powerful to learn how to be your own doctor and to know what your body needs and to be able to be strong in those things. So I think this has also been a very empowering time for people to really not delegate their health and take their own personal responsibility for, you know, what they're eating and what they're doing, and you know, really asking themselves some of the tough questions around that, because I think we've seen more sickness in the world of, you know, here we have more abundance in the world, but more sickness. And why is that? And where's the personal responsibility that happens in and around that? So having some support, you know, whether it's online with classes like you, or being able to, you know, elicit the help of people, you know, coaches and consultants and people to help them, you know, move through those things really does make a difference. And then you also had another experience as far as when you were in corporate with some bullying. And a lot of times we think of bullying as, you know, children in the you know, schoolyard type thing, but bullying can happen like in many different environments in many different ways. What were some of the things that happened during that time, and how did you move through that?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic and time of my life, because I was, gosh, probably in my 30s. So, you know, I still see myself as, you know, as a strong, capable woman. You know, I was in a quite important position as well. But the manager at the time, he was a bully, and I actually found that I lost my voice. So I didn't stand up for myself. And I, you know, we talk about the fight and flight sort of response that happens in the body when we're fearful. I actually froze. So I was freezing rather than, you know, running or fighting. So, and with that came, excuse me, now as I speak about it, ironically, how funny is that, losing my voice? So, right. How funny. Yeah. So it's an interesting time. And I think I've spent time analyzing that moment of my life, because, you know, there's a lot tied up in that, and that I'm sure comes from childhood, that comes from, you know, different experiences in life where, you know, I have felt, you know, in a frightened position, I've been scared, and that carries through in life. So just going into the, you know, the tools to help again with the breathing, all of that kind of thing, and exercise, I find when I move my body, I am connected more. So it's a big thing for me. If I keep active, then it seems to reset my body. And I find that also helps my mind, and obviously it's all interconnected, as we know. So for me, I think, you know, this new lifestyle of movement and mind body connection type of exercise really keeps me grounded and connected to myself, and keeps me in the zone, I guess, and in my power zone.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's a great reminder, you know, for our listeners about moving your body, because a lot of people don't realize how that can really shift how you show up in the world and what you look like. And, you know, as a retired police officer, you know, we would come across a lot of situations where people felt, you know, not in power, not being able to find their voice, not being able to stand up. And one of the things that we really, you know, we actually do some teaching around this is, you know, how you stand really conveys a message of whether or not people can choose that. So when you were talking about, you know, the breathing and having confidence, you know, we can actually translate that into the body of, you know, putting your shoulders back, having good eye contact, you know, how we show up, you know, is there's a lot of you know, subconscious cues that allow people to, you know, treat us the way that they do. And so when you learn some of those insights, you never let that happen again, because now you know what that looks like. And so, you know, I think anytime you go through experiences like that and you've moved through them, you can, you know, show people the breadcrumbs, if you will, of how you got there and how they can do it for themselves, because we get these great insights when we go through experiences. And that's why our personal experiences are so powerful, and being able to do that. So, that being the case, those were some things that were, you know, kind of took away your power. And when you kind of look at the overall of your life and your journey, what would you say is a time that you fully stepped in your power?
Definitely when I had my brick and mortar studio in Australia, because I created something, I was successful, and I really was living my passion. So for me, all those things coming together just created, I think I became more just really in the zone. You know, I was, everything was aligning, and it meant I could live my purpose. So for me, that was definitely one of the biggest turning points in my life in confidence. I had 20 staff. I had instructors and administration assistants helping me run the studio. And we were one of the studios in Australia that offered teacher trainings. I was also one of the first bar instructors in Australia inside my studio. So we bought, I don't know if you've heard of bar classes, quite popular now, but we were the first in Australia.
They're hard.
So they're hard. They are. I agree. And that was what caused part of my burnout, actually, because I was the only instructor in Australia teaching. So I was doing 10 classes a week, no one to cover me.
Wow.
And it was really busy because everyone wanted to find out what this was. So I kind of overworked doing that, but for a good cause, bringing it to Australia. But yeah, the brick and mortar studio. And the other thing I think is just in general teaching, you know, for me, sharing my passion really brings me into my zone. I find when I'm doing the admin and the techie things, I can get a little heady and maybe, you know, in my head and stressed. But then as soon as I start teaching, talking about something I love, then I become back in my body. You know, I'm connected again. I'm in the present moment. I think when you're really, you know, enjoying what you do, and especially, you know, imparting knowledge as well, you have to be in the moment, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, speaking of creating things, one of the things I love asking guests on the show, because I think that we have different experiences in our bedroom versus our kitchen or our office. So what is your favorite room in your home and why?
Oh, okay. Right now in the current home I'm living in, it's the lounge room because it opens up to a beautiful balcony with a big green view. So I do my yoga and Pilates there. The door's open now. I've been stretching before I came on the call. It just has a really good energy and vibe. So for me, it's that spot for sure. When I can have that expansive view, I'm really happy.
I love that so much. And I am always so impressed by people that can live in multiple countries because there's so many different, you know, cultural differences and the people and all those things. How big of a leap was it going from Australia to Malaysia? And, you know, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I was quite excited. I love travel. I've got such an adventurous spirit, and I think I'll travel for the rest of my life. I loved moving here. And in fact, it was interesting. Malaysia has kind of a more of a relaxed, lifestyle, mindset and way of life, because they're all about tomorrow, you know, everyone's late and it's accepted. And for me, that was a big shift coming from Australia, when everyone's, you know, on time, we're all, you know, on the treadmill and workaholics, and not all of us, but, you know, generalizing. So for me, that was a really nice change. I love that, coming here for that vibe. Good for me after I'd had a burnout, you know, and breakdown a little bit here in my studio. So I really love that transition. The culture is amazing here. We celebrate all different cultures and religions here. So it's great. I love it. The food's amazing too. The food's so good too.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think that they refer to that as island time. And, you know, someone recently shared with me that that God didn't create time, that's actually a constraint that's here on the world. And the more that we're in flow and we're not so rigid, right, we get so, you know, rigid in the way that we spend our time to really be present, right? When we're so, you know, wrapped up into the next thing and the rushing and busyness, as we talked about earlier, I think it's a great perspective. And especially if you live in a place that isn't so tied to that rigid nature, it actually allows you to be more in flow and be more present. And so I think that's great that you've created that in your life.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's island time. And I love that. Because of my nature, I have to be very mindful. Even in this, you know, environment, I have to make sure I'm carving out my time, you know, because I am ambitious. So, you know, when you're ambitious, you know, it's that constant to-ing and fro-ing between the two, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know that our listeners are going to want to stay in contact with you. How can they best do that?
Great. I am found at epilatesonline.com. So E for Emma or E for electronic. That was before everyone went online. So epilatesonline.com. And you can sign up for some of my free classes that are available on the website. And happy would be very happy to train you and your listeners.
Great. So good. Well, and as you know, our theme for this season are people who are being freedom fighters and creating that freedom in their life. So how are you being a freedom fighter in your world today?
Yeah, I really love that theme. And what sprung to mind for me is I really am passionate about helping women and men, you know, we all need this help sometimes, to love their body, to have the freedom around what you want to eat, what exercise you want to do without, like I mentioned earlier, using exercise as punishment for certain foods you've eaten, or, you know, feeling guilty about what you've eaten. So being free to make the choices that you want to make without worrying about gaining weight or without worrying about, you know, is this the right or wrong thing necessarily, but just making wise choices. And also to avoid the scales. It's a big one. I try and tell my clients to not worry about the scales, to go by how they're feeling rather than, you know, the weight that's showing on the scales, because that can be a little bit of a downward spiral. You can start to feel negative about yourself if it's not what you're expecting to see. Rather than, you know, looking at the scales, go by how you're feeling, like inches, how you're feeling in your clothes is one big thing. So for me, I'd love to help, you know, the freedom around the body image and love for oneself and body. So that's a big one for me.
I love that. You know, I mean, I think if anything that we've learned over the last couple of years is if you don't have your health, you haven't put the time and energy into what makes you healthy. And I think we've seen more than ever that the people who got the sickest were people that started out sick, right? They had some things that they could have made some adjustments if they really looked at, you know, these aren't things that happen overnight. It's over decades and a lifetime of choices that have been made. And we have this great opportunity now to make better choices and make those changes. And that definitely leads to a life of more freedom is when you have your health and you have everything, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And I love what you're all about. And all your mantras really, yeah, they align well with me. I fully agree with them. Yep. So true.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your wisdom. And I so appreciate you being here on the show.
Thanks, Diane. I've loved it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome and my pleasure. And for our listeners out there, thank you so much for being here with us. And until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now. Bye-bye.